A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there, began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way, "Who is the greatest?" Then he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst and putting his arms around it, said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, here Jesus goes again, second week in a row, bringing up that subject nobody wants him to bring up, the cross. Right? They don't want to hear it. Remember last week, Peter says, "Nothing like that should happen to you, Lord." And the Lord turns on him and says, "Get behind me, Satan, because you are not thinking as God does, but as men do." So after that failure to get it across to them, Jesus probably waited a little bit of time and brings it up again. But they don't understand him. And no one had the courage to ask him any questions. Of course not. They were in denial. They were avoiding it. They were thinking to themselves probably, Jesus is just going through a fad. He'll get over it. We'll get back to normal. Drop this talk about crosses and death and so on. And yet, that reading from the Book of Wisdom was one they should have known, that the just man has to suffer and that the wicked are going to conspire against the just man to put him to death, to put him to the test, and let's see if God comes and rescues him. And as he so often does, St. James, in that second reading, he kind of goes right to the heart of the matter. What's wrong is what's inside us, right? Where do the wars come from? And all the conflicts? Is it not from your passions that make war within you? You covet, you don't possess, you kill, you envy, but you can't obtain. You don't possess because you don't ask. And when you ask, you don't receive because you ask wrongly, just to feed your passions. Yeah, it's all about us, right? St. James goes right to the core of the matter. It's all about us. The disciples couldn't understand Jesus because they still weren't converted internally. They were walking along talking about who is the greatest among them. Yeah, they were caught up in the excitement of Jesus and his preaching. I mean, this was something new, and they were all enthusiastic about Jesus. After all, they were accompanying him when he was curing people, giving sight to the blind, and curing lame people, and cleansing lepers. And gosh, that was exciting to be with somebody who could do all of that, and you were one of his top lieutenants. That was great. And the enthusiasm of the crowds and the people, they'd walk into a town and the word would go out, "These guys are with that Jesus." And the people would probably bring him food and money and all sorts of stuff, right? And then Jesus' teachings were great. No, a new teaching. He'd get into arguments with the Pharisees and he'd always win. And he was showing everyone that the Pharisees were rigid and that wasn't the true interpretation of the law. That wasn't really what God wanted. They were so tied to their human traditions and conventions, and they had missed what the real heart of the law was. And they were enthusiastic about all of that, even the people who were reconciled, the people who had been far away, the prostitutes, the sinners, who came to join them. And this message of Jesus was great: forgiveness, charity, generosity. Just think of the Sermon on the Mount, a whole new way of thinking about their relationship with God. They were on board for all that. Sign me up. This is great. And the crowds are huge everywhere we go. But then Jesus keeps talking about the fact he has to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. And they don't want that part of it. Yeah, that's hard. That's the hard part for us too. Pick up your cross every day and follow me if you want to be my disciple. And that's the message of Jesus. Yes, all of this, but the grace is really won by the shedding of blood on the cross. And even today, we still have a problem with that, going all the way with Jesus. I mean, they would just like to cut that part out. There's a story about Thomas Jefferson, that he made the Jefferson Bible. At the time, Jefferson and some of the other founding fathers belonged to a kind of version of Christianity that didn't really believe in the supernatural, like miracles. They believed that all the teachings of Jesus were great. So they say that Thomas Jefferson went through the Bible and cut out all the parts about miracles and supernatural things, because the ethical teachings of Jesus were the really important things. And so he made his own version of the Bible. Well, if it was up to us, we would probably do the same thing, and we would leave out all the parts about the cross, anything that was about pain. We like all the other parts about cures and healings, miracles. We like those today, but not the painful part. But we can't get by just cheering on that message of Jesus. And that's why those passions that St. James reminds us about are right there in the lives of those disciples. And the reason they can't understand the cross is because their ego and their self-centeredness is still dominant. It's still in control. They don't understand that message of that cross that has to purify us, detach us from ourselves. And so Jesus makes this gesture of taking the child and putting him in the midst. He says, unless you can welcome a child like this. And it echoes what he says in Matthew 25, at the Last Judgment. Whenever you serve me and the poor and the weak and the defenseless, those in prison and those who have nothing to eat, you welcome me. That's the way we have to get out of ourselves. It's not about us and who's the most important. No, but the least of our brothers and sisters. How do we embrace them rather than worry about how important we are? How do we get to that real kind of servant leadership that Jesus is trying to get across to those apostles? And the child there, at the time, the child was worth nothing, in the ancient world. They had no value, okay? Kids, they didn't have any value. We live in a society that's very different. We kind of worship kids. We do everything for kids. The children, right? We do everything. Helicopter parents and so on, right? Kids are the most important thing. But back then, they weren't. So Jesus uses the example of a little child. No, this worthless little thing, Jesus wouldn't have said that, but that was what it represented to them. But today, who's the one that's the least of our brothers? We wouldn't think of a child, but we'd think of lots of people, maybe that useless relative that so much trouble, who just borrows money from everybody and creates division, never pays it back. Maybe that neighbor who's a pest and so annoying. Maybe it's a person who betrayed you and you can't let go of it. You just tolerate them, keep them at a distance. You're not going to kill them, but if they disappeared, you wouldn't mind. No. Those are the people who are the least of our brothers. Those are the ones that are like the little child. Jesus says we have to be able to embrace them. And that's what we're trying to do through Brewster Cares with the homeless. You know, a lot of those people, you could look at them from one angle and say, yeah, they cause most of their own problems, you know. Yeah, so why should we do anything for them? You know, they got themselves to be alcoholics or drug addicts, or they're lazy. That's, from one point of view, that's right. But if not them, who is the least of our brothers that we're supposed to serve? With the immigrant, you know, people have all sorts of opinions about the immigrants, but they're here, and they're our brothers and sisters, too. And we need to help them get ahead. So we teach them English so they can get to be part of this economy. The girls that come to Gianna House, yeah, you could say from one point of view, they created their own problems. But it's more complicated than that. But regardless, there are sisters in Christ. And they are the least of our sisters. And then when we embrace them, we embrace the Lord. And on Judgment Day, he's going to ask about those people. The people that were the pests to us. The people, the co-workers who didn't, you know, pull their fair share of the work. The people who are always cutting corners that annoy us constantly. Yeah, those are the people we're called to love. The ones that are hard to love. The ones that put us out. Yeah, those are the ones. Not the easy people. So yeah, we can get enthusiastic about the message of Christ, but unless we allow it to really change who we are on the inside. And the apostles show us what happens when you're just worried about who's the most important, who's the most virtuous. We never get to the least of our brothers. We never see Christ in the little child who doesn't have any value otherwise. It starts on the inside. And St. James is really helpful to make us face that.